Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Burnley Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, this happens every Monday night. It is your claret to take over. You can have a say on what Burnley are doing this season so far. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. And a man I'm delighted to get back on now because he is the man in the know when it comes to Burnley. Get his insight is the brilliant Andy Jones, who covers Burnley for The Athletic. Andy, great to get you on once again. There wasn't a game on the weekend, but there's still always some stories bubbling underneath the surface. I'm sure you're always at the heart of them, but it is the winter break. How have Burnley spent the time?
So as far as I know, and Sean Dyche spoke about it, after the last game against Arsenal, the player's got a couple of days off this week. So he mentioned it in particular in relation to Josh Brownhill, who, you know, can get himself settled in the area and sort out some of his personal stuff, and the rest of the players will have a deserved break after sort of the last you know run of league fixtures or results in the league especially. So they've had a few days off, and they'll be back in training this week with all eyes on Southampton at the weekend.
Yeah, it's a massive game. And obviously the situation's changed, Andy, from a few weeks ago when we were talking on a show. It was, I don't want to say it was looking bleak, but it wasn't looking great. And now they've headed into this winter break in a lot stronger position. Things are looking a little bit brighter. How can they take that momentum forward then from the winter break and sustain this run that they're on?
Well, I think momentum is very key, and the games they've got now, the more favourable, if you like, when on paper, if you look at them. Southampton have, you know, had a big resurgence themselves, and you know, are playing some really good stuff. I mean, they went away to Liverpool in the last league game, and it was 4-0, but they were very, very good. For especially in that first half, you know, they could easily have taken the lead. So I think that the key is that the players have now got had the break, and you know, sometimes that can affect rhythm, but sometimes that can be what's needed to, you know, just give them that little bit of, you know, a second wind, if you like, going into the next bit of the season. And you know, they've got some winnable games coming up with Southampton, Bournemouth, and Newcastle, and Southampton will be tricky on Saturday, of course, but the confidence that they've built, you know, will have stayed with them during, you know, the break, and they'll all, I'm sure, be looking forward to getting back into action and hopefully trying to pick up more points.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. They've really started to pull themselves away from that relegation fight, that bottom three now. Not that they were fully in it, but the form was a little bit worrying, shall we say, maybe 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. But those next three key games, massive. You mentioned them there, Southampton, Bournemouth and Newcastle, all teams in and around them, and it can really make or break the season. Has this winter break then, Andy, for you, and I suppose, in a sense, we won't know because we don't have hindsight, we can maybe answer this in a few weeks' time, but has the winter break for them come at maybe the right time or the wrong time? Because they have the momentum, but then they can settle in a few players like Josh Brownhill and get the players back up to full speed.
Yeah, it's a difficult question, to be fair, and arguably, you know, you're not wrong in either answer that you give. I think Burnley's players probably wouldn't have wanted, you know, the winter break to come. They would have wanted to continue, you know, building on the form that and the, you know, the momentum that they've built. But equally, it can sort just to have a couple of days away from it and, you know, just reset and refocus and sort of take in, you know, what they've achieved in those three league games, because not many people would have given them much, you know, much chance of getting 7 out of 9 points, and they did. And I think, therefore, there's different ways, and as you say, Brownhill, you know, can come in and integrate himself and, you know, get a good week's training in now and properly settle in. So it's difficult because at the same time, you can look at it and, you know, I'm sure Burnley would have wanted, and the players would have wanted to go straight into the Southampton game. They were very unlucky against Arsenal not to take all 3 points. They had some really good chances to sort of Jay Rodriguez as being the standout one, really, when he hit the bar from a few yards. So they probably would have, you know, half of the, they might have been thinking, you know, we'd love to just get into the next game. But at the same time, I'm sure they'll have enjoyed the break to reset, refocus and concentrate on the final sort of third of the season, if you like, and attacking that fresh and ready.
Andy, another player I really wanted to bring up now, there might have not been a game on the weekend for Burnley, but a player making all the headlines as well is young Max Thompson, obviously released on a free from Everton, now starting to play week in, week out for the under-23s, scored against Bolton, a really well-taken goal, 2-0. And do we have another, you know, the next generation? Burnley may have unearthed a gem and one player that we could hear a lot more about in the future.
Well, I certainly think that's the hope, as it is with sort of you know, a lot of the young players. I mean, Lewis Richardson's another who turned 17 on Friday and signed a new deal, his first professional deal. But yeah, I got the chance to watch Max in action in the Youth Cup game when the under-18s beat West Brom to go through to the quarterfinals, which is the furthest they've reached for I think 8 years in the competition. He's another player, you know. Max, he was very lively up top. He played alongside Joe McGlynn with Con Clark and Reece Fenlon, who I wrote about Con Clark in a bit of detail after the game. I spoke to, you know, a couple of people who've known him growing up, because he's another who was a prospect and has made that step up into the 23s. And there's a good feeling about Burnley's academy at the moment and sort of the youth setup. Continuing to develop, continuing to, you know, work towards, you know, building up the new training facilities helped massively, and I think it's allowed them to attract, you know, players to the club as well, to come in and sort of, they now understand the project that Burnley are building, and they can come in and you know, get involved in that as well and develop their own game and improve. And you know, Thompson's one of them. Richardson, of course, the under-17 England call-ups. The end of 2019 as well. He was on the bench in the Carabao Cup game in August. He didn't get on, unfortunately, the game. And the result didn't go, you know, the way it would have, you know, Dyche would have wanted to. But, you know, there's a lot of sort of young players. I mean, they've sent quite a few out on loan in January as well. So they're all bedding in and getting first-team experience. So, you know, the academy and sort of the setup is looking very, very good, and Thompson coming in is another player who, you know, is can excite and hopefully in years to come can, you know, continue his development and to reach, you know, you never know, first team level hopefully, but you know, it's still a long way and a lot of steps to go. But you know, he's making the right steps at the moment, and that's positive to see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's shrewd business from Burnley, isn't it, really? You know, it's low risk. You know, they got him on a free. He was at a Premier League club like Everton. And we've seen this a little bit similarly to Josh Brownhill. These players, sometimes they let go from top pedigree clubs and it doesn't work out for them at the time. But it doesn't mean that the talent, the ability and the potential is not there. And if Burnley can harness that, then this is a shrewd bit of business in now what is an inflated transfer market.
Yeah, and there's always different ways to do it. I mean, Liverpool are sort of a prime example. In the summer, they didn't have, you know, any big players in terms of first team players, but they added a couple of young players, like Harvey Elliott and Seth Vandenberg as well. So, you know, there's different ways. You don't have to go and buy, you know, for Burnley, it's about buying for now, but there's also, you've always got to have that eye on the future. And that's what Burnley, you know, would sort of, the likes of Thompson coming in and getting Lewis Richardson tied down to a professional deal, you know, they're the right steps, and you know, to make sure those players are at your club. And as you say with Josh Brownhill, you know, he was released from Manchester United, but you know, after a couple of unsuccessful trials, went to Preston and within 18 months was in the first team squad. So, you know, things can happen like that, and you know, that might not be, you know, the path for Thompson. You just don't know with young players, really. But you know, if you're identifying the right type of players and the talent of players and they're coming in and hitting the ground running, which Thompson has, then, you know, it's all good, and it just shows that Burnley continuing to develop, and it makes them, you know, an exciting prospect for other players who, you know, they might you know, be looking at who can, you know, they can snap up if they've been released from academies and stuff like that, and they can work on them and try and, you know, get them through themselves. I mean, Dwight McNeil's the best example. He was released from Manchester United at 14 and Burnley brought him in, and I mean, you can see what he does week in, week out for the first team, and that's the idea that Burnley want, you know, the next Dwight McNeil and, you know, the next prospect to come through their academy, and you know, they're always looking to do that, and hopefully, you know, in years to come, there will be more prospects coming through.
Yeah, absolutely. And Andy, I know you're connected to the club, you're covering the club. It's a big summer as well for Burnley, if we're looking a little bit towards that, because players out of contract, who will the club keep? Can they keep them all? We've got players like Jeff Hendrick. I know they'll be keen to retain him. Phil Bardsley, Aaron Lennon, Ashley Westwood, even Robbie Brady to an extent. It's a big summer of change in that sense also.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting one. I wrote a piece a couple of weeks ago. I think it was towards the end of January, I think it was, where I think within the next 18 months, Burnley will have 15 players who will sort of be coming to the end of their deals. I think four of those 15 have got an option, because Burnley like to put options into a contract for an extra year. So, but yeah, you're right, and there's key decisions to make, because the sort of quite a lot of them are approaching that age, you know, around the 30s, where you then got to decide that the next contract, the length, it's got to be agreeable. And I mean, it will be interesting. I mean, Joe Hart's very, very likely to go. I'd be very surprised if he stays, especially given, you know, Bailey Peacock Farrell was brought in the summer. But then you've sort of got, you know, Robbie Brady's got a year option, so you'd expect Burnley to take that up, because he's 28 and, you know, still, you know, he's not found the form that he's had at Burnley in the past, but, you know, there's, you know, hopefully, you know, he can get back up to that. But obviously game time and consistent run of games is, you know, important in being able to do that, and Dwight McNeil on the left is, you know, sort of the mainstay there. And then the likes of Jeff Hendrick, you know, he's a very good, you know, player who can play in a variety of positions, and you know, he's someone that Sean Dyche really likes. He always speaks very positively about him. I think he said, you know, earlier in the season that he always seems to find a way back into the team, which he does. And, you know, he keeps that depth as well in certain positions. You know, Brownhill adds to the central midfield depth, which was looking a little bit thin on the ground, especially if Hendrick then was to move on in the summer. But, you know, Burnley, you know, are in constant discussions with, you know, players and agents. And, you know, if a deal is there and to be done, and it's right for the club, it's right for the player, then I'm sure, you know, they will be done to keep the players, because what you don't want to do really is lose a lot of players and have to overhaul, you know, your squad completely. There's an element of trying to get in, and I spoke about sort of the age mixture within the team, getting that right. Barnhill at 24 comes in and sort of fits that criteria, because there's a different, you've got Dwight McNeil at 19 and then everyone else is sort of 26 and above. Outfield players, that is. So, you know, you've got different, you know, elements to it, but, you know, Burnley will, you know, make the best decision for the club, and, you know, those types of deals, I'm sure, will be done with in the next few months, if there's to be done. And if not, you know, they'll look to the transfer market to see what business they can do to bring replacements in, and, you know, try and get better in areas of the squad if they do lose certain players.
Yeah, they want to build to the squad without having a massive rebuild each year. Well, it'll be a big end to the season in what looks like now, Andy, from what you're saying, a big summer as well. And this will be a big end to the show on the Burnley Fan Show, because we still have another very special guest to talk everything what is going on at Turf Moor next.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Burnley Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we just heard from Andy Jones from The Athletic there, talking everything what Burnley's been up to on this winter break. And there is still time to have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, I'm delighted to say this show only goes from strength to strength, because we always try to get someone new on, get a new voice. And this is a man I've wanted on for a long time now. Joe Redmond joining us from Turfcast Podcast. Joe, it's a real pleasure to get you on and get your insight into Burnley. Obviously, there wasn't a game this season, but this is the first time for us speaking to you on the Burnley Fan Show. We know you're at the heart of it. What have you made of the season so far?
Well, I think it's been a little bit hit and miss, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think we started really, really well. And there are a few whispers of like European football again. I'm not sure anyone being like deadly serious when they said it, but you know what I mean. People were still chatting about it. But also, on like that really poor run of form at the other before Christmas, and then we fell into the relegation battle, and then there was the defeat to Villa, I think it was. Yeah, with Villa on at home on New Year's Day. When that, I left it to myself thinking, hey, we could be in trouble here. And a lot of the conversation was, could Burnley go down? A few people at work were saying to me like, oh, I think you'll go this year. But since then, again, we've turned the corner. So that's what I mean about it being up and down. And now, thankfully, we seem to be coming further and further away from it after getting 7 points out of 9 available against 3 very good sides.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the reasons for that, Joe, was obviously, you know, great defensive foundation, good stability and keeping clean sheets. And 9 clean sheets in the league now. And this is actually not just, you know, higher up there in the Premier League, but leagues around Europe as well. I think it's Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Marseille. This is the type of team you're in company with. And a lot of credit obviously has to go to Nick Pope, who's now getting a lot of recognition for England as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Nick Pope's been fantastic ever since he had to come into the side when Tom Eaton dislocated his shoulder a few seasons ago. That was the season we actually finished 7th. But he's been fantastic ever since then, and he's done really, really well. We're always, like you say, we've always based it on sort of like defensive stability, and he's always been at the heart of that, as was Tom Eaton before him. But yeah, it's only right that he's in the conversation about England. I've noticed a lot of stuff being said about Dean Henderson as well, and he's on the same amount of clean sheets. They both deserve it. They've both been absolutely brilliant this season, and like I said, there's probably not enough room for them both, but they both deserve to be on that plane, I think, in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's a lot of room for the goalkeeping chat in a minute. Jordan Pickford's coming for a little bit of criticism. Henderson over at Sheffield United's making a lot of noise. But Nick Pope was one that was in and around it, as was Tom Heaton, former Burnley man. And, you know, you've had a good, strong net of keepers for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. Obviously, we've got Joe Hart as well. I mean, he gets a little bit of stick, unfortunately, from some of the fans. But, you know, he's obviously got the pedigree. He's won Premier Leagues. He's played for England, I think, over 50 times and stuff like that. So, you know, we have got like a good depth of goalkeepers. Unfortunately, because of that, we had to lose Tom. But he wanted first-team football, so you can only really, you know, say fair enough to Tom. And he's gone to a big club in Aston Villa. And unfortunately for Tom, he's got injured again, which is a big shame because, you know, he was doing quite well at Villa, as he was at Burnley before his injury a couple of years ago as well. But Dash opted for Pope in the summer, give Pope a big contract, and then told Heaton that Pope was going to be number one. Obviously, Pope decided to leave. So there's also the negative side to it. We've had to lose a club legend in Tom. But yeah, for the last few years, we've always been blessed with 3 very, very good goalkeepers.
Yeah, they have. Obviously, Nick Pope now could be the face of the club for years, still at a very young age. Another one looking to join the faces of Burnley, Josh Branhill, obviously signed when we thought it was going to be a quiet end to the window. You got him in. This is a player, you know, who's really looking to make that next step up, was starring for Bristol City. What were fans pleased at the move, and what did you make of it?
Yeah, I think it's not going to pull up any trees, especially immediately. It's not the sort of move that's going to get the world's media going, oh my God, look at this guy that Burnley signed. But he fits the Burnley mold perfectly. Like you said, he's been doing well in the Championship, so that's one box ticked. He's hungry to do well in the Premier League, that's another box ticked. And he was a captain at Bristol City, so you know he's got a good ethos about him. He has a good work rate as well. These are all the Sean Dyche sort of like box ticking that needs to be done. So the fans were pleased. Like I said, we've gone down that road before with the likes of Chris Wood and Charlie Taylor. They've both worked out perfectly. There's other players as well, like Ashley Westwood and Matty Loughton. They've all worked out perfectly as well. So yeah, it's a decent signing. Like I said, no one's going to be looking at it going, oh my God, what a brilliant signing. But he will do well for Burnley. It might take a while to get his chance. New players always do under Sean Dyche. It take a while to get a chance. But I think Ashley Westwood or Jack Cole, one of the two central midfielders, is only one booking away from a suspension, so that might be his chance, and who knows, he might just go from strength to strength. I might see him more next season than this season, but I think ultimately he will be one of the mainstays in the team.
Yeah, and also someone that maybe we thought wouldn't be a mainstay of the team that was perhaps on his way, speaking to another few of the other clubs and the fan shows we do on Love Sport. Ben Gibson, maybe not really worked out for him at Burnley. We thought he might be looking at Watford, a return to Middlesbrough. But apparently, and over your social media, and what we're hearing the last few days and the last week, that move was never really quite close, Joe.
Yeah, there's been a few sort of come out in the press from Dash saying, you know, it wasn't ever really, like you say, that close. I think I think Sean Dyche, he brings players in. I think he may or may not have told Gibson that he was going to be a squad rotation. And obviously, Gibson had a few chances at the start of last season. I think he played in the home game against Istanbul Başakşehir in the Europa League qualifier. And he played a Premier League game as well, which I think he scored in, or he might have scored in the Europa League one, I can't remember. But yeah, he's sort of like had like I was sort of saying about Josh Brownhill, he's had his chances, but he's not had too many chances. And sometimes, like I said, players don't get that many chances on Dyche, or if they do, they have to wait a while. Just look at James Stokowski. We bought him, I think it was about a season and a half until he really got a good chance when Michael Keane moved on. But I think with Ben Gibson, I think it was initially brought in when I know Ben Mee was running slow. The time of his contract was running out. I think he had about a few months left on it, or about 6 months to a year left on it. So maybe that was the thought process there. But then obviously Ben Mee ended up signing a contract extension. So then Gibson never really got a chance. But I think it's good business from Burnley to keep all of him. He is our record signing. I think we signed him for around £15 million if the prices in the media are true. And there's rumours that James Tarkowski is out of contract next summer. So if Burnley are going to want to cash in on him and not let his contract run out, which would be foolish, they're going to have to sell him this summer. So Gibson's, just thinking out loud here, Gibson's chance could come next year with Ben Mee and Gibson at the back. We're talking potentially leaving, who knows?
Yeah, a few players out of contract in the summer. There seems like there could be quite a bit of change happening over the next few months at Burnley. One change that could be happening in the Premier League, Joe, and I want to talk about it from a Burnley perspective. Obviously, we're hearing maybe some kind of rumours that the Premier League will be adopting a kind of Netflix £10 a month to watch the games. What do you make of that?
I think it's a brilliant idea. I don't see why it hasn't happened within the last 5 or 6 years. I know Sky and BT and Amazon now, they all give the Premier League a lot of money, like billions of pounds, and obviously that all then gets distributed through the clubs. But I think I'd buy it. You'd probably buy it. I think the majority of people, if not everybody listening to this show, would buy it. If that's where it's exclusively available, then everybody who's a football fan will probably buy it. I don't understand why it's taken so long. The NFL have had it for probably 10 years plus. The NBA have had it for a similar amount of time. The NHL, I don't understand why it's not already there. I think it's a brilliant idea. There's nothing stopping them. They have the money to be able to do it, and then they will then make more money probably from doing it. Like, I'm not a businessman. I don't know exactly how much money they will make or what the profitability is. But I don't see how it wouldn't make more money if, you know, you've got all these people across the world that watch the Premier League, and it is billions of people that watch the Premier League. If you charge them all £10 a month, you know, they're going to make absolutely loads of money. I don't understand why it hasn't been done before. It's just such a simple thing that I think the Premier League is miles and miles behind other leagues in.
Yeah, I think sooner rather than later, it's really going to be interesting how it plays out, Joe. Obviously, I want to talk about quickly the games now, because you've got Southampton, Bournemouth, Newcastle. Those three games, those next three, are, you know, always the next one is the most important, but the teams in and around you, and they're key, aren't they, to what the rest of this season holds?
Yeah, definitely. I think I was on one of the other shows on Love Sport recently, and the presenter on that said that these three are key. Like they are. If we come out of these three, there's no denying it. If we come out of these three with 0 points, we're going to be right back in it. But I think the last three, the win against Leicester, the win against Man United, and then the draw, which we should have won at home to Arsenal, was kind of taking the pressure off a little bit. We had a really bad run of fixtures, and we were looking precariously over our shoulders and getting closer and closer to the relegation zone. And I remember saying to everybody, if we come out of these run of fixtures before the Southampton game, just out of the relegation zone, then I think we'll be fine. We've come out of it in 11th. I think we're like 7 points away from the relegation zone off the top of my head now. So it has taken the pressure off these three games a little bit. But yeah, obviously we want to be going in. If we can get 7 points out of these next three, like we got out of the last three, then yeah, the season in terms of relegation is pretty much done. In fact, it probably will be done. So I think that'll put us on to closer to the 40 mark anyway. 39 or 40, I think it is off the top of my head again. But yeah, if we come out with these with 7 points out of nine again, then yeah, we will be definitely safe, 100%.
Yeah, I can't disagree on that one. Joe, just quickly then, score prediction for Southampton on the weekend.
You put me on the spot. I'll take a draw, because Southampton obviously playing really well at the minute. You've got Danny Ings firing on also, and he's scoring every week. And he'll obviously enjoy scoring against Burnley. Not that he dislikes his Reds, it's just a former club in it. So
always.
I'll just go for 1-1 if we can, because they're on form at the minute at Southampton, to be fair, and the fact that they've really dragged themselves out of it is credit to them and hasn't it, especially when they got beat 9-0 off Leicester. I remember saying to a few people, like, there's no way you can get beat 9-0 in a season. and expect to be safe. I had them down and out at that point, but you know, fair play to them. They've turned the corner and come out of it, so I'll definitely take a draw away from home at Southampton. Definitely.
Yeah, and another draw for Burnley though means their unbeaten run continues. Joe, really appreciate you coming on tonight. Please check out the Turfcast podcast for all your extra Burnley content, as you can check out this show every Monday 10 to 10:30 right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.